Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-oh.
Check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Miss Mina.
Mailbox of 202.
Hello?
Check, check. Miss Mina.
I was calling you on your phone. I was like, what happened? It's 801. Now it's 802. What's going on? We're late. Hi, Derek Barron, a.k.a. DJ Petron.
A.k.a. this ain't what you want.
Wow. It's Sunday, August 29th. We're getting to the end of the month here. It looks like everybody's crunching, including the police, so please be careful for your seatbelt. They're clicking their ticket. They're not playing. They're trying to get their money. So watch out for the world's most ruthless gangsters in the world, the police. Okay, I'm going to get in trouble for that. Today we're talking about incest, and there's a lot of poets that write about it. I didn't know there were so many men that go through it that don't talk about it, so I want to cover that today and how poetry helps us heal through all the things that we go through. But we got to touch on it a little bit last week about incest, and I just wanted to talk to people today about it because I feel like we need to talk about it a little bit more. And, so thank you, everyone, who joined us today. Do we have a chat room yet?
Yeah, we got a chat room. We got Miss Nina Word Song in the building.
In the building.
Mm-hmm. You know how, you know what I'm saying, people be on that CPT time. You dig?
Oh, yeah, they're going to be a little late.
Mm-hmm.
Well, meantime, hello, Nina Word Song. Hopefully today you can call in and join us in a little bit of dialogue. It's something that we talk about quietly amongst ourselves. Those of us who've gone through it, we kind of relate to each other when we go through some things. So, but I think a lot of people don't talk about it. They really don't. Like, who do you talk to about it, especially men? Like, will their sexuality be questioned? Do they question their own sexuality after what happened to them? You know, does what happened to them make them gay? There's a lot of the questions sometimes people have with themselves, and they feel gay because what happened to them was so gay. So it's a big issue for them when they, you know, just are at the very fragile ages of minor, whatever age that is, under 18, just young, and you can't really talk about it. So if anybody's been through it and you're listening, 646-378-0763, that's the phone number to call in today and talk about whatever. I didn't want to angle this. If you have a comment about incest or just want to talk about it or want to address something one of the folks calling in today are saying, you know, you're more than welcome. Please hold your poetry until 9 o'clock. Right now we're going to discuss this, and then 9 o'clock, it is wide open for all you poets who are interested in spitting a bit.
Mm-hmm. We got a caller from area code 317. You want to start taking calls now, or you want to hold a second?
No, it would be great to take that call. I think I know who that is.
Oh, okay.
I think it's Miss Divine. I'm not sure.
All right, let's see what it is. Caller, you're on the air with Miss Mina Holiday.
Hey, it's Sahara.
Sorry,
I'm late.
No, you're cool. You know, colored people time. That's what it is, right?
Yes, CPT. You already
CPT.
Know.
CPT.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Talk Box. Y'all already know each other, DJ Petron.
Mm-hmm. ZD.
Zahara Divine on the line on the soapbox.
The donut maker.
The donut maker.
Gotta make the donuts. Zahara is in. Tell everybody where you're from, where you're at.
Indianapolis, Indiana, the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
The home, the state of the great late Michael Jackson?
Indiana? Mm-hmm. Because MJ, where he's from, Fort Wayne or Gary, Indiana? Where is he from?
He's from Gary, Indiana. 2300 Jackson Street.
Yeah, rest in peace, Michael Jackson. Today's his birthday, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday, MJ.
Happy birthday.
How old would he's on the moon doing the moonwalk. How old is would he be? He's 50.
He would have been
53, right? 52? Okay.
52. Yeah.
52. Mm-hmm. And a deck of cards birthday. So rest in peace to Michael Jackson. Do we have some Michael Jackson music? We need to get our Michael Jackson game
fact,
up.
You know what I'm saying? You know, they thought Mike and it was going to come after us for the royalties. You dig me? Because, you know, they trying to get every piece of change from everybody doing out. You know, somebody listening.
Yeah. Well, if anybody listening that's in the indie field, if you want to do your version of Michael Jackson, please do. Because we needed some Michael Jackson in our life. And we need to find a way to get it on here legally where we can not have to worry about fighting copyright infringements and piracy and all that bullshit. Send your Michael Jackson mixtapes in. We will take anyone, as long as they're good, and yeah. And don't try to sing if you can't sing. I mean, just let the music do its thing. I'm serious. We have to stop putting out bad music, DJ Patron. I mean, not us, because we don't do that here. Here, guaranteed, we don't have a whole lot of music, but what's here is great.
Mm-hmm. You already know. We're going to give it to you. You know what I'm saying? The best of the best on the underground. And, you know, we played the independent stuff. I'm mixing matching some of the national. I don't have, you know, some stuff you haven't heard. And then, you know, so we mix and match. We not give you no God.
Who's
so.
We? DJ Patron? What are you talking about? Do you have a show here on WDMV Radio? The Indian Free? Wait, did you get Zahar? Did that sound muffled or is it me?
I thought it was just me. I thought it was my phone, but yeah, it was all muffled.
It was muffled? Oh, you got to repeat that, DJ Patron. Something happened. Oh, I didn't like what you were talking about.
She named muffled. Who muffling my
like
microphone?
Somebody. You know what I'm saying? BTR, they do it.
All right. Hey, we had an overseas call come through, but somehow we lost him. Somebody, it was all ones. 1-1-1-1-1.
Oh, okay. That was probably Renard Yerby.
Yerby?
Yeah,
man.
That's probably him.
Over in
no, he's actually in Germany.
Okay.
He's in Germany. But,
Germany.
Yeah. What's the chat room doing?
Chat room is chatting it up, you know what I'm saying? Nina's giving it up real heavy, you know what I'm saying? This word song, she's chatting real good, you know what I'm saying? We got a couple other guests in here, so, you know, guests can't do nothing but listen. You know,
right.
So.
Oh, they got to sign up. They have to get an account or something and sign up. It takes like 2 minutes. Then we know who you are. Unless you want to remain incognito, it's all good. Welcome, guests. And then Short Bus, you out there, beep, beep.
Beep, 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 beep. Uh-oh, look at ZD. Look at ZD. Look at it.
I'm just giving a shout-out to Short.
Short.
Why
not? That's her name. You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying. Well, I'm going to give a shout-out to Short Bus. Where's the horn at? I need a horn.
Oh, so you want to give it a horn? Right?
I mean, I'm just saying. It's not when that. I put that horn there.
Oh. You know what? We going to hell with gasoline draws on.
Hand in hand. In hand.
Boy. And you laying on the horn. Love coming.
It's Johnny. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh. Four here are wrong as two left shoes. I know y'all wrong. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to do it.
Too
I ain't going to be able to do it.
Guilty
not gonna be able to do it.
Guilty by association.
Not gonna be able to do it.
We already announced your name. You already.
If you don't. You know what?
Oh, I just got one question.
What's that?
All I want to know is.
Patrol. I'm going to need you to stop it. Not now, but right now.
Right now.
You know what I got to say to that?
I started him on the sound effects.
Oh, now
over.
We got the sound effects. See, that's what's wrong.
It's a library. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, that's why we can't come together as people.
It ain't me.
This is why there is black on black violence. Did you hear that?
Hey.
Did you hear that? You got to bring that back to Jay Fatone. That's ice going in his cup.
It ain't me. Blame it on the alcohol.
Hey, go to the Diet Coke. You got to do that and then go to Diet Coke.
Oh, man. You're doing all kind of tricks and stuff on this joint.
So you do the ice in the cup first, then you do the Diet Coke. Watch how it sounds. It's going to sound right.
Yeah, let me hear it.
Oh, man. Y'all working me hard now. I don't even see Diet Coke in this joint.
Or it says Coke or pouring Patron or something.
And Coke pour is what it says.
Yes.
So you want to hit.
You like that. You like that. You just stop. Where did that fit in? You traveled.
That's how the natives got all excited after they heard them drinking pour.
I have nothing to say.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we do really have a serious show today. We lighten it up a bit. I've got tears in my eyes. A big shout out to all of you who are listening right now. If you get a chance and you're in the chat room, please tweet or Facebook. Let everybody know where we're at. I really didn't do much announcing of the show because this is the serious nature of the show. I just really want to talk about stuff that we don't normally talk about as to open the dialogue for healing. I'm not trying to just us get up here and everyone call in and cry about what happened. I mean, if you have to cry, I understand. You know, we get that a lot here on the show for some reason. Well, just from one person, but still, we get it a lot on the show, and it's okay to cry about whatever we're going through. But at some point, we have to stop crying, and we have to start healing. And yes, crying is a part of the healing, but it is not a means to the end when it comes to healing. It is just a way to release all of that negative energy. Okay, good, you got rid of it. Now what are you going to do? You can spend the rest of your life laying down, or like if you're an avid Bible reader, you can pick up your mat and walk. And you have to walk. You have to move forward. If you don't, you will die. If you don't die physically, you'll die spiritually, but it'll kill you, and it didn't need to. We can heal, and we can take the wonderful gift of having gone through that, healed from it, to help other little younger victims and take that energy and teach them how to get through it, because, you know, sometimes you don't always get dealt the best hand, but we get that knowledge to be able to help other people, you know, play their hand that don't know anything about it. We can sit beside them and show them. Can you tell I like cards? So anyway, if you are interested in calling today, 646-378-0763, please call in. Please talk to us about what you've been through. What are we talking about? We're talking about incest. We're talking about how poetry helps us heal from the things that we go through. And particularly this week, we're talking about incest. We're talking about inappropriate touching, inappropriate dialogue with a child or a minor. We're talking about it coming from, you know, someone in your immediate family or very close to immediate family, like a cousin, like an uncle or whatever. In your household, I know it has to be held. It's like being in prison every day. If you don't know what prison is like, you will know in that situation, because you can't turn left or right and escape anything. It's all four walls for you. And I understand that more than anybody, so I would like love to hear your input. And we need to talk about it. We need to talk about it more, and we need to talk about it and bring more awareness to it. So men who are sick and they look at little girls and little boys and find them sexually attractive or just wanting to get off themselves. Some men don't even find them sexually attractive. It's just that they need to get off. And in their mind, they're going to get off by any means necessary. And if it means that a little child will have to be a victim, then that's so be it for them. And these people, we need to be able to profile. We need to be able to look at someone and be able to tell. And the only way we could do that is talking. Because for some reason, they're able to hide in communities. They're able to hide and continue to exert their... Did we just land on Mars? It sounded like we just landed on Mars. Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
What happened?
DJ Petrone?
Okay. I think we lost him.
Well, okay. Perhaps we'll get him back. In the meantime, while we're waiting on him to come back, feel free to call in. Press 1 if you'd like to speak. If you just want to listen, that's fine, too. There's no pressure to speak. When you do get on the soapbox, please say, you know, hey, my name is so-and-so, and I'm on the soapbox to speak my mind. And if you could say that, that would be great, because we're going to take a collage of all of those and make that part of my theme song that we're going to have for On the Soapbox with Nina Holiday. So, you know, since we're on the line, Zahara, why don't you do it? Why don't you start out today's and show people how it's done?
So I come on and I just say, this is Zahara on the soapbox with Mina Holiday, and today's topic is about incest. Please call in. If you're in the chat room, please sign up. It just takes a short moment. Get your username and a password. That way you can chat with us online. And if you're on Facebook and if you're on Twitter, if you can retweet and also post this on your page to invite others to join. Is that good?
That's great. Thank you. That is wonderful. I can't wait to put it on there. So when we do a little more lighter topic and have fun, it'll be a little bit different. We're going to have you redo it. And,
okay.
Yeah, we're going to have you do a more exciting one, but this is incest. We are talking about something really serious. And can I ask you something personal? Because, I mean, I've talked about what I went through here on the show so much. Like, I'm ready to listen now and hear what other people have done. But what do you know about what incest is?
Well, I mean, I know what it is as far as being violated physically by family members. And or friends of the family. That's more along the lines of that would be what molestation when they're not related. Is that correct?
Pedophilia.
Pedophilia. But I don't know if anything like that has happened in my family. If it does, it must be a very, very well kept secret. But I've heard and I have friends who have experienced it. We've talked about it, cried about it. Nothing has happened to me, thank God. And I'm, as far as I know, nothing has ever happened to my son. But just listening to friends who've had it happen, or had this happen to them, I just get angry. Just thinking, why would someone do this to a child? Innocence. When... you can probably have, well, even if you can't have any woman or man you want, but why take advantage of a child? What is the point? And what sick, twisted mind would want to violate the innocence of a child? I never understood that. And they have more laws that protect them, it seems like, than they do the victims.
Oh, yeah, the victims end up being carted away in foster care and all that stuff. And the actual
mm-hmm.
perpetrators, if they're never, you know, if you don't have enough evidence to prove that they did it, they just get to, you know, live these normal, whatever you want to do it lives. I mean, to me, mm-hmm. I just know how God works, and I know that, you know, God knows everything. So you may have gotten away with it with that child and the police, but you didn't get away with it, period. Definitely
right.
Didn't get away with it. You know, you will be, you'll face the music for everything that you've ever done in your life at
mm-hmm.
some point. But a lot of people get away with it, Zahara, and why do you think that is? I mean, just, I know that you don't personally, you can't answer to what, you know, why they would do it. Neither can I. You know what I'm saying? I've been a victim. I don't know why they do stuff like that. But maybe, why do you think, if you had to make an educated guess, they get away with it?
I believe, you know, from what I've read and what I've heard, excuse me, or whether it be on news reports or whether it be on Lifetime movies, when things like this happen, it's like they put fear in these children to make them think that if you say anything or if you tell anybody, I will kill you, I will seriously hurt you, and it scares the child so bad to where it's like the parents don't know because the child may not show any type of signs or whatever right off. But then also I think they get away with it because some parents will actually turn a deaf ear to their children. I've heard of women blame their children and not the man. Well, say it's their kid's fault. Heard of
Did
women
you check out their Precious? Because that happened in Precious, the movie.
Yes. Yes, and actually I read that book when it first came out years ago,
uh-huh.
and I could not believe, because now the movie, if you haven't read the movie is nothing like the book, maybe a little, but if they actually gave Sapphire her own voice in that movie where Tyler Perry and Oprah didn't probably overpower her, because I believe that's what they did, they had to, there is no way for them to put this movie together the way her book was originally written, because they left out a whole lot. I don't know if that's because they figured it was just too hardcore for the big screen or what. But that mm-hmm. girl went through hell and high water in that original book. I remember reading page by page, and when the book actually begins, you have to really pay attention because the book progresses as she learns how to read. Because, you know, she didn't know how to read. So when she started writing, I mean, when she started getting better, you could see that when it started off, it was really hard to understand because she was trying to put her words together. So as the book goes on, the English gets better and the sentences are better formed. So you can kind of, she kind of puts you right there. And it was so sad that how he started out molesting her at, I believe, 8 months old.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. See, they didn't put that in the movie. They had it where she was already a big girl. But she was a baby when it began.
Mm.
And it was out of control. I mean, just reading the book, it just makes you so angry just thinking about why. And not only that, but the mother, you were there.
Right.
He would roll off of you. You would have the baby. She would have Precious in the bed with her.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he wouldn't even touch her. He'd go right to the baby. And she allowed it because that was her man. But what you didn't mm-hmm. know is that your man was also infected and knocked your daughter up twice.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible.
Hmm. I guess I got to go get the book because I watched the movie and I was done.
Yeah. Oh, but then you don't even want to read the book.
You
don't want to read the book because it's so emotional. It really grabs you. And you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe. When I knew that it was going to be a movie, because it never came here, I don't think. If it did come here, I don't remember even seeing it in the movie theater. But I drove to Chicago to see it because it was out in the major cities before all the other cities got it. And I went to Chicago to see it, and it wasn't a dry eye in there. And, I mean, the movie theater was packed. And
right.
I'm looking around, everybody. Tears at the end. And I felt so bad for her. And I'm like, and the abuse that she suffered, that was light compared to the book. Getting skillets thrown at her. And, oh, yeah. And not only that, her mother abused her sexually. But I believe that they get away with it because it's mothers like her that allow it to happen, blame their children for it.
Right.
Or they want to keep a man so bad to where they figure that their children would lie about something like that. Not saying that it hasn't happened, because it has. But if you know you and your children, and you know your child, you know when something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because there, a sign got to be there somewhere that something is going on. If you are in tune with your children and you know that your children do certain things and then they just stop, or
right,
they withdraw, then you got to get in there and get in their face, not yelling and screaming, but you got to let them know whatever it is. I've always told my son, I don't care how bad you think it is, it ain't too bad to where you can't share it with your mother. Because I can't help you if I don't know.
Okay.
See, I'm going to watch you anyway, because I'm going to think, you know, you around my son a little bit too much. What's going on with you?
Hmm.
That's women and men. Because when he got his first job, he was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner of the restaurant, very nice man, I think that he owned a couple franchises. He was African-American. His wife was, too. They had it going on. Well, that's fine. And they started bringing the younger people in and hiring them and teaching them about work ethic and everything. But then it was the interest that he had outside of work that made me walk up to him and say, hold on a minute. Now, I know that my son and my nephew work for you. But I understand that, you know, that they don't have their fathers around, and you take them to play ball, and you take them to eat, and you invite them to stay at your house with you and your wife. I need to know why. You don't have any children. So what is your interest in just these two? Because I would always ask, is it just y'all over here? Something ain't right. And I did, and I asked him. He said, well, I understand your concern. And he was like, it was just taking them, you know, under my wing. And we do talk about, you know, school and all that. I said, where is your wife while these boys are with you? Well, sometimes she comes with us, and other times she's shopping or whatever. Okay, I'm going to need to come along from now on. I'm sorry. I just don't feel right. And I always ask my son, did he ever, no, Mom? I said, hey, I don't care if he said he was going to do something to you. You tell me. No, nothing ever happened. Nothing like that. I would have said something. Oh, okay. Well, I'd have said, you know, I'd have came. Well, I'd have told you to come get me and everything. Oh, okay. Because I'm just letting you know. And I let him know in so many words. If you were thinking about it, unthink it.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, and I didn't see anything different in my son either. So, you know, but I'm just praying, even if it did happen. I didn't see it, and my son never said anything about it, but I've always told him, I don't care what it is, you tell me.
What do you think, parents, do you think, how do you think it is that mothers can miss something like that? Like, I don't know, I'm not a mom, right? So I can't really speak on that, but how do moms miss these things? Like, when their kids are going through anything. It doesn't even have to be molestation or whatever, but how, DJ Patron, are you there?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, did you want to respond to that too? Because I would love to get the male perspective. You have a daughter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real, you know, like a touchy situation. Like, you know, Zahara, she went ahead and, you know, she stepped to the plate. Like, a lot of parents, man, they, you know, they miss just not even, like, signs of anything's going on, but they're, I believe, naive about people just being so nice and, they, you know, happy that someone's taking interest in, you know, their child and, and helping along. And but they don't, you know what I'm saying, take that step to really just try to be forward. I mean, it is your child, so you know, that's your job. You know what I mean? And
right.
You know, with my daughter, you know, it's you know, since me and her mom, you know, divorced, it's a little, you know what I'm saying? It's a little uneasy for me, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? You know, when she's not around me, she's, you know, with her mom or with, you know, whoever her mom is dating or whatever. But, you know, my daughter, you know, she's real, you know, upfront. She tells, you know, she tells me everything. Like, I'm like, you know, don't never be afraid to tell me any and everything. You know what I'm saying? I will never be mad at you. You know what I'm saying? You just have to let me know what's going on. If something isn't right or, you know what I'm saying? I ask her, you know what I'm saying? Is so-and-so, are they, you know, are they mean to you? Or, you know what I mean? Is so-and-so okay? Or, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's a little, you know what I mean? It's a little uneasy when you, you know what I'm saying? You're not around your child, and especially, you know, children are so happy-go-lucky, you know what I mean? Ready to be, you know what I'm saying, friends and wave and nice to people, and they're naive when it comes to, you know, adults that want to take advantage of them, you know. And as a matter of fact, I was just probably about a month ago, I was talking to somebody I know, and she was telling me that, you know, when she was in college, she was, you know, she worked at some store or something, and the owner was in jail at the time. She was like, you know, they was telling her that, you know, well, if somebody calls collect, you know what I mean, it's the owner, you know what I mean, he was card checking her, and, you know, take the calls, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, you know, he had a son, and the son had came home, you know what I'm saying, was like, you know, grandma touched me or something, you know, in a certain kind of way, right? So he mm-hmm. said, told his wife, you know, blah, 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 and then she, you know what I'm saying, you know, then he kind of, you know, went out of the rhythm, and the son came home again. It was like, you know, grandma touched me. So dude went over there and killed his mother-in-law. Shot her dead.
And wow.
The time that, you know what I'm saying, he said that grandma touched him in a certain kind of way. So, I mean, you know, that, you know, I don't know, it's really rough to really, you know what I'm saying, really say what you would do in that kind of circumstance, you know, because, you know, even if, you know, something is going wrong with your son or your daughter or whoever it may be, you know, it makes you feel a certain kind of way, like, you know, your heart gets to racing, and, you know what I'm saying, if you think someone has done something wrong, and it wouldn't have to be like that, a molestation type of thing. You know what I mean? So when that goes down, that's a real, you know what I'm saying? I don't think anyone could really say what they would or wouldn't do if that actually happened to one of their children. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, you know, like I said, I try to just make sure with my daughter that, you know, we real close, and she, you know, is not afraid to, you know what I'm saying, express herself and tell me, you know what I'm saying, you know, a lot of stuff. Like, even some stuff, she was like, well, mommy said this, but don't tell I said it. Or, mommy, you know what I mean, don't want you to know this and that. So, I mean, we got a pretty, you know what I'm saying, open, you know what I'm saying, conversation, you know what I'm saying, between us. So, you know, I just, you know what I'm saying, like I said, I get her every weekend, so, you know, we talk a lot, you know what I mean, and she calls me during the week, you know what I mean, so I don't know.
Would you say that talking to your kid helps, having that open dialogue is what helps you always stay in the know with your child? I mean, how is that? Do you make a conscious effort to talk more with her to keep her comfortable, you know, so she'll feel comfortable telling you? Or is it something that you've already implanted in her and she just trusts you now? Which do you think it is?
Well, I mean, you know, with her, me and her mom separated after she was one. So, mm-hmm. you know, I've always tried to have that openness with her, you know what I'm saying, because I wasn't around her 24 hours, you know what I mean? So I always wanted to know that it was nothing that she couldn't call and talk to me about, or nothing that she could say to me that I would be upset with her. You know what I'm saying? That I would rather know and for us to really talk about it, you know what I'm saying, with anything. So, you know, it's both. I started out with her like that when she, you know, first you started talking and all, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, I was getting her before on the weekends when she couldn't talk. She was still an infant, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and so as time went on, then, I mean, I guess she trusts me enough, like certain things she would tell me that I wouldn't say, you know what I'm saying, repeat or go take it to her mother where it's, you know, it would, you know, make her feel like she couldn't trust me when she would tell me something. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I guess over the time, you know what I'm saying, it just, you know, she trusts me enough to know that she can, you know what I'm saying, tell me, you know what I'm saying, anything. You know what I mean? No matter, you know what I'm saying, what happened or who said what or, you know, whatever the case may be, you know?
Some people frown upon parents being their children's friends, you know what I'm saying? Like befriending them. Mm-hmm. But what do you feel about that, like especially when it comes to things like this where it's hard to talk about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's a difference between being, you know what I'm saying, like your child's peers from, you know, being, you know what I'm saying, someone that they could talk to and trust, you know what I'm saying, because my daughter completely, absolutely knows that, you know, we're not peers, you know what I'm saying, when I think that's a problem, when, you know, your children, you know what I'm saying, get it twisted, and they think that you're on their level and you're on theirs, you know what I mean, but when, you know, you have that open dialogue with them, that's always key with any you know what I'm saying, any type of relationship you have, whether it be your children or your mate or, you know what I'm saying, whoever, you know what I mean? An open dialogue is always good, you know what I mean? And if you can get your kids off the break to know that it's nothing that's too bad that they could come and tell you, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, you know, if you say you have a teenage or son or daughter and, you know, they're out somewhere and, you know, they drinking when they know they shouldn't, and then something happens, then they can't, you know what I'm saying, they can't drive or they don't want to drive with the person that came in, you would rather them to call you, you know what I'm saying? They know you're going to be upset, but for them to be too afraid to call you and then get themselves in a bigger jam is more frightening than them calling you and trusting enough that you will come and get them there. They know it's going to be some consequences where, you know, in that situation, and you know, whether they was,
they aren't going to have a parade waiting for them when they get home,
right? You know what I'm saying? But I mean, you know, that they trust enough and feel good enough about calling because, you know, they know that, you know what I mean, they're
safe with mom and dad. Like, they know you're not going to let them just be somewhere letting somebody drunk drive them,
right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely, you know, I definitely believe that your children should be able to express themselves. You know what I mean? They're not, you know what I'm saying? Not like, you know, when y'all hanging buddies and, you know, y'all drinking together and all that stuff, you know, like that, underage, you know what I'm saying? So, because sure, when, you know, I was over 21, and sure, I know, I mean, me and my father was cool, but I know we wasn't cool enough to be drinking together. You know what I'm saying? Even though I was in the military and I was over 21, I never, you know what I'm saying, he never saw me with a drink in my hand. You know what I mean? Never. Because I knew, I mean, I knew I could call my father, we'd talk about stuff, do this, do that. And, you know what I mean, he was really, really, you know, leaning on me as far as being, you know, becoming a man, even as a teenager. I had so much rope, it was crazy. He was like, man, you know, as long as you do what you're supposed to do, we good. You know what I'm saying? You need to talk about something, you need something, we good, no problem. You know what I mean? I used to do weekend trips and, you know what I'm saying, go away, you know what I'm saying, come home in the more early morning time, and you know what I'm saying? He never had no problem with it. Boom, you good? Yes. Yep. All right, cool. You know what I mean? So that's just the kind of, you know, relationship, you know what I'm saying, I want to have with my kids, where they will all know that they have responsibility, you know what I'm saying, of, you know what I'm saying, things they're supposed to do, but they know if something goes wrong or if they make a mistake, they're not afraid to call me. you know what I'm saying, to call me
right.
And, you know what I mean, let's try to fix this problem. But, you know what I'm saying, although you made this mistake, it's not the only mistake you'll make. It won't be the last, you know what I'm saying, but, you know, you were smart and intelligent enough to, you know what I'm saying, call me and let's try to work it out. But
how do you establish that with your child, like when they're one or two or three? Like, how do you begin to implement that kind of, because I know that people molest as young as one and two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just start out, you know, start out as early as you can when you're first talking and just, you know, you talk about things, playtime, and, you know, just, I always told my daughter, listen, man, you know, I'm always going to be here for you, you know what I mean? And, you know what I'm saying, you can tell me anything, and, you know what I mean, you know, just, you know, try to, you know, your best to be, you know what I'm saying, the best, you know what I'm saying, you could be, but things happen. And I was like, yo, you know what I'm saying, we just kind of grew like that, because, you know, we spent a lot of time together, you know what I'm saying, weekends, mothers, you know, whenever, you know, I always took my daughter to every doctor's appointment she ever had, you know what I'm saying, every time she went to the doctor, I was always taking her, or her mom would call me if something, she was sick, and I would meet them there. You know what I'm saying? If, you know what I'm saying, when my daughter got sick at school, you know what I'm saying, I was the one that would take off, and, you know what I'm saying, and then I would go get her and bring her home with me. If she couldn't go to school for a couple of days, I was the one that kept her. Her mother didn't take off. You know what I'm saying? Her mother didn't come. I did all that. You know what I'm saying? And I always, you know what I mean, stayed around her, stayed real close. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So you're suggesting that fathers, mothers, whatever, parents, just be there. Basically, that's really what's happening, is that there's no communication between the children. So I'm getting that as well, like kind of from what you're saying, that kids are just not spending time with their parents, really.
Well, I mean, it's been time. I mean, I just think that a lot of times these people that are taking advantage of the children kind of, they frighten the kids into thinking that they did something wrong. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And then so the kids are afraid to tell their mother or father because they think that they were in the wrong. You know what I'm saying? They play the psychology game with them. Or they tell them that they're going to harm their mother or their father if they tell. So the child, they instill fear in the child.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying is that, you know, we try to let your child know there's nothing that they can't tell you. I mean, if they're afraid, they're afraid, don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? Let me know, talk to me, you'll tell me, you know what I'm saying, what's going on. You know what I mean? So it's not so much that the parents don't spend time or so much that the parents are not around. I mean,
their presence isn't making them feel secure because they don't know that they could tell their parents something like that and not get in trouble for it.
Right,
because
yeah,
whoever the person is that's molesting them is telling them that, you know, you're this and you're going to get in trouble because you did this and
right,
you're a nasty person. I mean,
right.
I know all the things, all the tactics, like you're a freak because you let me touch you here or you let me do this to you or because you wore those shirts or because your grades are bad or whatever, you're going to get in trouble. I'll tell on you for that. Or I'm going to kill your mom. I'm going to kill your brother. You know, just say anything to scare them. And some kids aren't shook like that because they have parents like such as yourself. But let me ask you, since I have two strong, very strong parents, I have the male side, the father's side, and the mother's side, do you guys mind doing an experiment with me? And just a quick thing, just for people who are listening who have young children or older children and kind of want to know how they would have the talk with their kid, that initial talk, and let's just pick an age of four, where the sentences are clear, you know what your child is saying to you, and they know what they're saying to you completely, 100%, even though I believe kids younger than that know. But let's just start with four. And let's say I'm the four-year-old, and you're my mom. Life is what it is. You know, we got our ups and downs, whatever. I'm about to go to kindergarten. It's time to have some kind of talk. I don't know what kind of talk it would be, but I just want to see how you two would do as my parents. Do you guys mind if I play that four-year-old?
Well, you might as well. Go ahead, man. Let's go.
Do you mind, Zahar? You don't have to if you don't want to.
Oh, I don't mind.
Be my mommy?
Yes, I will be your mommy.
Wait a minute.
That makes her your baby mama and wife over there, DJ Petrone.
You don't say that. Already got me bringing a wall up. Baby mama's boy. Whew.
All right, so school starts in like 2 weeks or whatever week. School has already started in a lot of places. School starts tomorrow for people. So it's time to go to school. First, you know, I'm 4 years old and I'm kind of sitting down and you guys are trying to have some kind of talk with me. What kind of, how, first of all, I'd love to hear the two of you dialogue and pretend that I am your child and you have not had the talk, and I'm putting up the air quotes. You haven't had the talk with your child yet. So I don't know, whoever's the most concerned, you go ahead and y'all talk to each other and then call me, and then I will, then you tell me what you would say as parents once you guys have decided what you're going to talk about. Because isn't that the first step? The two of you need to talk?
Yeah, no, the correct way. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
He said the correct way. It was like, doesn't always happen that way, huh? Okay, so parents, engage.
All right, well, you know, what's the first thing you think we should talk to, the, you know what I'm saying, baby girl about as far as, you know what I'm saying, going to school and, you know what I mean, strangers and on the, you know, walking to school or after school and all that good stuff?
Well, I believe that we should sit down and talk to her about it first. Well, you know how she is not to talk to strangers, that if she has any problems as far as school, tell the nearest adult. If that nearest adult is the one causing the problem, the next adult she sees to get help would not to go off with anybody, but to the safe place would be to go inside the school. If she's getting off the school bus, and go right to the office. Don't go to a classroom. Go right to the office and talk to the first adult she sees behind the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And once she talks to that person, you need to say, you need to call my mommy and my daddy right away.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. I just, you know what I'm saying, I think that, you know, just wanted to add something as far as, you know, before, you know, she goes to school tomorrow, she also, you know, we need to know that, you know, even if someone at school, like, you know what I'm saying, janitor or somebody, you know what I'm saying, a teacher or something is, you know what I'm saying, touching her or does anything or says anything on her, she needs to, you know what I'm saying, also let, you know, her principal or someone in the office know, and also,
mm-hmm.
you know, call me on my cell phone so I can come up there.
Exactly. Also, she needs to draw attention to herself to where everybody can see whatever it is going on. So the moment she feels like someone is touching her inappropriately in her private personal spaces, so we're going to talk to her about that and what she should say and what she should do. And my thing is, I believe that she should scream at the top of her lungs, do not touch me there. That's a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody call my mama and my daddy.
That's right.
Okay. Every time. Loud as she can so everyone can hear. That way, if she can bring attention to herself, another adult can hear, you know, older children, somebody that said, yeah, I heard her say, you know, when the teacher touched her, she yelled at the top of her lungs, don't touch me, you know, so because if she's too quiet, no one knows what's going on because kids are not really paying attention like that. Other children, if they plan, if they're preoccupied with something else, so we need to let her know, bring attention to yourself. Even if they figure you disrupting class and you got to go to the office, that's what I want you to do and tell them, call my mother right now.
Mm-hmm.
Call
mm-hmm.
my mommy, call my daddy.
That's right. So, you know, I mean, I think, you know, that's pretty, you know what I'm saying, appropriate to get it. That's to get it started. So I think you can go ahead and call in here so you can get it started.
Okay, Mina?
Yes.
Nina, will you come in here and talk to us for a minute? Tell us about school today. Come in and sit down.
Okay. Yada, yada, yada. And I beat him down because he took my apple. I was like, you ain't going to get my apple. And why y'all looking at me like that? Y'all don't want me to talk about
you weren't supposed to hit him because he took your apple. You were supposed to tell the teacher.
Daddy, you said beat them down if they take my stuff.
See, Patron, I done told you about that fight, and you gonna have a girl. You know what? You gonna get this baby suspended. I done told you. Quit telling her to fight in school.
Hey, nobody touched my baby.
Took my apple and my pineapple.
I understand. She's serious about her food. But we can't have her fighting in school. Because I'm serious about mine. She got it from her mother. But I'm just saying, we can't have her fighting in school because, you know, they kick children out in kindergarten. They will do that now. They don't keep your kids no more. So, but we're going to sit down and talk about that. But what else happened in school today, honey? Everything okay?
Everything's okay.
Good, good. Now, you know, me and your father sitting you down today because we have something to talk to you about. And I wanted to make sure that you can understand what we're talking about. Do you know what your personal, where your personal places are on your on your body? What are your personal places?
My vajayjay and my butt and my MBs.
Okay. So you do know the difference between when mommy gives you a bath or daddy gives you a bath and we're getting you dressed. You know the difference between how we help you get your clothes on and we get you washed up. You know the difference between that type of touching, right? You know how that is, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what? Anytime you feel like something is not right, even if it's mommy or daddy, you should say something if you don't feel right.
That was powerful. That was powerful. You got to say that again.
Even if it's mommy or daddy, how if one of us touches you where you're uncomfortable, then you should say something to us. If you're scared to say something to mommy, say something to daddy about it with mommy and vice versa. You should. So what do you feel you should do if someone, even if it's not mommy and daddy, where it's uncle, cousin, teacher,
shoot them? No, I'm just kidding. I would tell you.
Okay. So you would come and just tell, because you feel comfortable telling mommy, right?
Yes.
And you feel comfortable telling daddy?
Yes.
What about other adults? What if it happens at school? What do you do?
I tell the teacher.
But if the teacher is the one that maybe touched you, what do you do?
I tell the principal.
Okay.
Or another teacher.
Which is good. But if you are alone with this teacher and this teacher touches you inappropriately, you are to bring attention to yourself by yelling. If you have to run out the room, run down the hallway screaming at the top of your lungs, leave me alone, don't touch me, that's what you do until you get to the nearest adult. And the first thing you're supposed to say is, somebody call my mommy, somebody call my daddy.
Okay.
Every time they ask you a question, that's your answer. Call them now. I've been hurt. I've been touched. Call them now. That's all you say. If they get asked, what happened, honey, and all, call my mommy, call my daddy right now. And scream at the top of your lungs to make sure they understand that they need to call us so we can come down there. But even if that person tells you, if you tell anyone that we did this, we don't hurt you, they're lying. They're not going to hurt us. or you, because they want to keep doing whatever it is they're doing. So that's what they're telling you, not to say anything. But if you tell mama, mama can stop them before they even think about hurting you. Believe that. But don't believe them when they tell you that. You still tell mama anyway, or you tell daddy anyway, and you let us handle it. Do you trust us? Do you trust that we would do what's right for you?
Yes.
Do you trust that we will believe you when you tell us?
Yes.
And you know the difference between the truth and a lie?
Yes.
Okay. So if I tell you that mommy is not a black woman, that she's a white woman, would that be the truth?
No.
Okay. So if I tell you that, let's see. I'm trying to make sure I have the right question. Daddy, do you have another question you can ask her as far as something you know could be a lie? So we know she knows the difference between the truth and a lie.
Well, you know, I think she kind of understands. She knows the difference between, you know, a lie and the truth. I just, you know what I'm saying, want her to really understand that, you know, we are here for you, you know what I mean? And you can, you know, always tell us, you know, anything, whether it be good or bad. And, you know, if someone tries to tell you that, you know, you're doing something bad, and if you tell us, we will, you know, be mad at you. We won't be, you know what I mean? We love you, we always will love you, and we'll always be here for you. So you can come to us, tell us, you know what I mean, anything that you want to, you know what I mean? And, you know, just make sure that, you know, you let your mommy and daddy know all things, you know, that's going on with you in your school, you know what I'm saying? When you come home, you know, outside of the playground, when you know what I'm saying? Anything that's going on with you, we'd like to know about it. You're important to us, and we just like to know about you and make sure you're always safe and sound.
Okay. So, if you're listening right now, 646-378-0763, what we just pretty much did, we have DJ Patron and Zahara Divine on the phone, and they're playing my parents, and I'm a four-year-old, youngster about to go to school or just completed my first day of school, and a very very necessary conversation needed to take place if we're going to be vessels for our children, you know, vessels of trust for our children, so if they go through something, they have someone that they can talk to. They have someone that they can go to, and of course it should be their parents if once something like this serious happens to them. But there are some things that they're not going to always be with you. Parents are not always going to be with the kids, and you're not always going to be with your kids. So it's like you got to teach them something before they leave you. And so we're having a dialogue right now, sort of skit, role play action right now to make sure that we don't just tell you, talk to your kids. We'll just kind of take you through the dialogue so you can start having that conversation. And if your kids are 10 and you haven't had to talk yet, it's not too late. Is it too late, guys?
No, it's never too late. It's never too late to talk to them.
Mm-mm.
Is anybody on the line?
Yeah, we got a few people right here. I want to bring in a caller, 202. 202-702. Call you on the air.
Hey, what's up, folks? What's up, man? That's Patron, and I forget the young lady's name. It's Larry.
Zahara Divine. Welcome. You're on the soapbox.
Yeah. Well, to weigh in, and I had something to relate to that, which will go later, but I just want to say from having a family member and an ex-girlfriend, God rest her soul, to go through incest, it was quite kind of, you know, painful. to watch. And the young lady that I spoke of was molested by her stepfather, even though you wouldn't consider that all the way incest, that still was a family member. She was molested from nine.
It's incest, even if they aren't blood related. Incest is if they're in the immediate family household. So that's like really bad. And that's one of the most common, that's the most common way to be molested, usually by a stepfather.
But that was going on for 15 years, and I didn't find out about it until I had stumbled across a letter that she had written. And surprisingly, she didn't show any effects of psychological damage or anything. She still was a giving, nice person. But she did everything she could to let other family members know later on, but no one believed her or no one did anything about it. And, I have another young, lady that I know that was molested by her brother, and she had a child. To this day, the child is a teenager. And that story had to come out. But nothing was, I'm not saying that people need to act brutal, but I think that is a severe problem. That families as a whole, just for whatever reason, don't address harsh enough. I mean, I don't want to, speak anything wicked or whatever else, but, I always believe that, anyone touching your child or whatever else, they need to get dealt with, maybe not by your hands, but by the hands of the law. I mean, something, that I don't want to speak on because of personal, issues. I have that issue right now in my family that's going on that some family members are being investigated for. It's a lot. And it's really just wicked how I think we as a society have allowed too much to go on. But then again, I blame my family for not, once they get wind of it, not checking out, not taking the proper procedures. And, I think this show, and I think people need to make an outcry. Well, if you know or have an idea that this is going on, investigate and deal with it at all costs instead of just sitting back and, well, maybe that child's lying. And that's a real problem, especially in, and I don't mean to say African-American families, because incest is not talked about. And it goes on a lot. It has happened a lot. I've talked to countless friends, not just females, that have experienced some form of incest, aunts and uncles touching on them and doing little things.
It's common among young men, too.
Matter of fact, since I created a little 2-minute piece about it, and I was wondering, could I share it?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll be quick about it because I don't want to get back to the conversation. But this is called A Poem Letter to Victims of Incest. I'm so sorry for not being there to protect you from the cowardly actions of the evil forced on you. I'm so sorry for not being that guardian angel to cast a wicked spell on that spirit that inflicted you. I could only imagine the psychological and spiritual damage that has torn you apart. It pains me to think of all the aftermath of what it has done and the scars it left on your heart. If I were God, I would immediately send that evildoer to the pits of mental and physical hell. I would make their death 1,000 times worse than the first and bring them back to life to live a miserable hell. I am truly sorry for this society and this wicked world that led way for you to endure this circumstance. And I'm so sorry that a family member that you were supposed to feel safe around, unleashed but dealt you this wicked trance. I hate the fact that I could not be the voice of reason to calm that evil spirit to steal them away from you. I dedicate this poem to you, Angela Madison, who was a victim of incest, God rest your soul, and to my fallen aunt, Laura Barnes, who was also a victim of incest in her early childhood. This poem is for you.
Sounds a great piece, and a lot of compassion in that. And, even though
you didn't dedicate it to me, I still, you know, was very moved by it. And, you know, you
well,
always...
It's for everyone. It was for everyone. I just put their names in it because those...
I wasn't saying it like that. I was saying it more like, even though you didn't directly address me, it still felt like you did. Like, every... If you watched Antoine Fisher and heard the poem that he wrote, Who Will Cry for a Little Boy, that is commonly what a little young abused child would say to themselves. That is like our song, our anthem, where we'd be like, who cares about me and what I went through? Who cares about the fact that I don't know how to deal with this? Who will cry with me? Who will cry for me? And so through this poem, it was kind of like, I'll cry for the little boy kind of thing. I'll cry for the little girl that was molested. And so it's beautiful pieces like that that help people feel like, okay, you know, it's a little late after the game, but it doesn't matter. It still feels good because most of us nurture that little child in us that never got to grow up in the, you know, slowly and have their first kiss because they wanted the kiss. You know what I'm saying? Or have their first sexual moment because they invited it and wanted it. So when innocence is taken, it's like that little girl, that little boy stays a little girl or a little boy. They never emotionally grow up when it comes to those areas. They mistreat it. They either are promiscuous or they'll be gay or, you know what I mean? They'll pick something. They'll pick something so they don't really have to cope with it.
It's frightening to watch because actually sitting down and talking when someone tells you, and I'm on two or three accounts, I've had three or four friends tell me in my life past, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, they've been molested and just reliving that. And then when I see some of their actions of how they carry it out as adults, now, surprisingly, that didn't happen to my, you know, ex-girlfriend, but I ran across friends that were promiscuous, that were just looking for love. You know, they just didn't know how to go about getting it, you know. And it's real frightening and eerie to hear because it's like, well, what's the healing process? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I can't help them, you know, man. I'm not a trained psychologist, you know, even though part of it is, goes along with my teaching job. The best thing that I could do is just try to, you know, be there for them. But, you know, my question really is, what do we do about this stuff that is happening? It's one thing to heal, but it's another thing to say, okay, well, this is going on. When are we going to start standing up as a society and address these people that are doing this stuff to these kids? That's, mm-hmm. I think that really needs to be talked about.
Oh, you're talking about it. That's what we're doing the show for. You know, we're talking about it. We're definitely... not being shy or holding our tongue. If anybody has anything they want to say about it, any ideas, if you have ideas, please offer them. We do believe that talking about it does open the door. It's not the means to an end, but it is definitely good to open the dialogue and make them aware. You know, shed a light on the situation. Like, if you don't know what to say, you're not sure. Okay, just because I do want to cover a couple more things, another aspect of this. Let's say, Zahar, you're single, right? Okay, this is. I'm going to come back to you, DJ Patron, as well, and Larry. If you're dating a guy and you have a little girl, and you're dating a guy, how do you, because, you know, as a parent, I guess while you're dating, even though your child really has nothing to do with your actual dating process, they still have everything to do with, I believe, whoever you bring into your life, because they will affect your life, thereby affecting your child's life. So let's say you get seriously involved, and now it's time to introduce him to her. But is there a conversation that takes place when it comes to your daughter? Like, maybe you trust him and he's good with you and you feel comfortable, but now you have a daughter. Should there be an automatic standard conversation that you have with the man that you're bringing around your child? Or even if it's a woman, you know, with this 2010,
relationships don't have the same phases they used to have. It looks like everything, whatever. So no matter who your partner is there a conversation, a standard conversation that you have?
And you were speaking with me first, is that right, Mina?
Mm-hmm.
With me being, okay. Yes, it's a conversation that needs to be had with your partner because, so there's a clear understanding that, you know, the relationship between you and your child, and obviously you want this person to be around your child, and what type of behavior, what type of discipline is involved in that with you being the disciplinarian, and also a talk with your child about how they should act around this person or be around this person that's going to be in your life, because I've seen too many situations to where mothers end up arguing with their teenage daughters because, you know, of course, these teenage daughters are not looking like teens anymore. They all look about their mother's age, look like they could be sisters. And these men have these eyes that wander and look, and next thing you know, they're paying compliments and maybe saying some inappropriate things, because I think something like that may have happened with my niece, because she came over my house directly after school and just fell into my arms crying, and I'm trying to figure out, is she pregnant? What happened? You know, and she was talking, but she just said she didn't feel comfortable with some things that her mother's boyfriend was saying to her. And I said, okay, now I looked at her and I said, now I need you to understand something. Auntie is on your side, but I need you to understand that you need to tell me exactly what happened and that you're telling me the truth, because you making this a little bit more than it is, possibly, you do understand that your auntie is crazy and that all the other people that she's getting ready to call are crazy, and you can get this man seriously hurt. So I need you to tell me everything. Well, when she was telling me what she told, she was saying that he would say little things like, he said, So, are you going to give me a kiss goodnight? That right there was enough. So I started putting my shoes on and everything. And she said, Pee-Pee, what you doing? I said, where's your mother? We need to have a talk. I need to call her. But where is he?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know where he is. I said, okay, well, that's besides the point, because we're going over there before I make this other phone call, before everybody come over here. Have you talked to your mother about this? She said she had already talked to her mom and told her that she doesn't feel comfortable around him, and that now she doesn't, it's like she takes everything in the bathroom with her to get dressed. It's like she doesn't feel comfortable even wearing a house coat or wearing her pajamas around him, that she just puts all her clothes on and leaves from the bathroom, which is right by her bedroom, and go right into her room and close and lock the door. That right there, that was enough for me to get involved, to where I'm like, okay, anytime your child tells you that she's uncomfortable, there's a problem and you need to address it. If there should be, you know, you tell him, look, this is not going to work as far as me and you. I need to do some things. I need to sit down and talk to my child. But she said some very disturbing things. I'm going to tell you about them. But you got 5 minutes to get your stuff. Plain and simple, because I'm not going to just assume that she's lying. Because if you have that understanding with your child, that you need to tell me the truth. You know, don't lie to me, because you don't have to. But right then and there, my child come telling me something like that, there's no place for you here. And actually, you better be glad that you can leave the same way you came. So whether it has happened or not, you should catch the next thing smoking. So that talk is always done with whoever your mate should be, and also with your child to help them understand too. You know, mama going to talk to you. She going to defend you. She going to, with her life, guard you with her life. But also, you got to make sure that when you when you bring something like this, that you are ready to understand that this can be really serious, so you should not make things up like this. You can ruin someone's life like
this. Mm-hmm.
You know, so it does go, because I've seen that happen too, where people have been accused of it, and it never happened, because you just want your mother to yourself, or you want your father to yourself, and you don't want this other person around, so you start making up things about them too. Because I've seen that happen to where some people lost jobs and everything. So I'm like, okay. So you got to have that talk and get that understanding. But yes, most definitely a talk with both of them. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, I hear you, Laurie. Okay, I hear Zahara, I hear you. Zahara,
okay,
go ahead.
I stepped off my soapbox.
Okay, cool. That was a very important point that you made closing out there. For those of you, because I know someone personally who lied on someone, and it was because she was mad at him and she knew it would get him in trouble. So she lied, and this man went through a whole lot of court and having to prove his case for almost 12 years, I believe, before she finally admitted that she lied. And it ruined his life. He couldn't work anywhere. He couldn't be within so many miles of school. He, you know, spent a lot of time in prison and stuff. And I told her, and when she told me the story, you know, she didn't know that I was a molested child. And so I listened intently, because I've really never seen this side, but I've always been affected by this side. I've always been affected by it because people didn't believe what I said, because my father was such a community man. So it was like, you know, and it would be because of so many kids that lied about it, that they'd be like, mm-hmm, I bet you he did do that, mm-hmm, you know? And it was always because of the young girl who's just spoiled or just upset and would lie about it. And she asked me, she was like, well, I mean, are you saying that I should tell the truth about it? I should admit it? And I said, you absolutely need to tell the truth. And yes, you will. You should have already felt the shame from the moment that you did it. So I believe after 12 years, your shame should, that part, you know, you should welcome the feeling. 12 years of his suffering unnecessarily. And then what a tarnish that you put on him. You know what I'm saying? How you tarnished his reputation. That's terrible. You need to tell him. Well, needless to say, this young lady does not talk to me anymore. But she did, you know, she was like, yeah, you're right, I need to tell him. But then she never called me again. And really, we haven't had any conversations since then. But, you know, sometimes you got to sacrifice the friendship for what's right. Because for me, I mean, I wasn't trying to tell her not to be my friend, but... And I wasn't just trying to, you know, like judge her and make her feel bad. I was just trying to let her know, you know, yes, in these situations, tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You should tell the truth all the time. I mean, what are you afraid of? Just tell the truth.
She probably felt guilty. But see, the thing is that not only her lying on him about what happened, if anything, you know, since nothing happened. But also, it makes it harder on the children where it does happen to them and no one wants to believe them, because there's so many cases of children possibly lying about things that happen for one reason or another. But it makes it hard for the children who actually have this happening and no one wants to listen because of that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, that's the only thing. It's horrible.
So, Patron,
yep.
You're married. I mean, well, you're in a situation, and but now you're away from your daughter, and she lives with her mother. How does this work for her now? Like, do you guys have a conversation about who's around your daughter?
Well,
how do you try to present stuff like that from happening to your daughter from some strange man that may be good to your to her mother, but you know what I mean? He got little tricks up his sleeve for your little girl or anybody's little girl.
Can you hear me,
Travis?
Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, with me, you know, me and her mom are like oil and water right now. You know, well, it has been since, you know what I'm saying? So we kind of don't be in each other's presence as much as possible. So, you know, I talk to my daughter a lot solo, you know, and I just kind of, you know, let her know that, I mean, well, she all, you know, she knows, you know, she's been known from Jump Street, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm her dad. I'm a daddy, hands down. There's no other daddy, you know what I mean? You know, even if her mom was to marry somebody else, you know what I mean? They would be, you know, whatever, but it wouldn't be another daddy, and I'm the one that, you know, she can confide in and tell, you know, all the different things to. So I always, you know, I talk to her about, you know, the different, like, the different people that she's been around, you know what I mean? You know, is he okay? Is he nice to you? You know what I'm saying? You know, we have conversations, and she, you know, she would, you know, talk to him, because my daughter's, like, real loving, like, really a loving, just, you know what I'm saying, type of child, you know what I mean? And, you know, I couldn't have that conversation with her mother because, you know, she would be thinking that I'm trying to, you know, second guess her judgment of people, you know what I'm saying? It would be a whole nother issue. So going that route with talking to her about the dudes, I just, you know, when I go around, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, my presence is known. You know what I'm saying? My presence is known with whoever she might be, you know what I'm saying, dating or bringing around, you know what I'm saying, my daughter. You know what I mean? I'm always very cordial, very, you know what I'm saying, you know, I'm not coming, I don't come with an attitude or nothing like that, but, you know what I'm saying, they definitely know that, you know, I'm there, I'm in the picture, and I'm around, you know what I'm saying, all the time, you know what I'm saying, always there. You know what I'm saying? And I let her know that, you know, she can tell me, you know what I'm saying, about things that goes on with her. You know what I'm saying? I never ask her about anything that's going on with her mother or even, you know, her mother, what they do with them people. Just what's going on with you. And we talk and she tells me different stuff. So, like I said in the beginning, I just always, you know, let my daughter know that I'm here for her, period. You know what I'm saying? Nothing else that I'm concerned about, you know, over there. Just her well-being, hands down, 100%. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, like me and her mom don't get along. You know what I'm saying? We can't really have no discussions about anything. Even when we went to the discussions, you know, when we separated and, you know, the different rules and regulations we're going to have, we had a counselor, you know, we still, you know, I was quiet for most of the counseling sessions, and you know, because I was just like, as long as these things, this is what I want. This kind of visitation, right? This is what it is. And then, you know, on the last day, you know, the guy was like, well, you know what I'm saying, you're pretty quiet, well, you don't talk too much. And then, you know, when I started really, you know, voicing what I, you know, things, you know what I'm saying, it blew up. You know what I'm saying? It blew all the way up. And then he was standing there looking at me like, wow. I was like, yeah, I told you. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely, you know what I'm saying, keep the doors open, the conversation open, and, you know what I'm saying, everything open with my daughter. Just, it's me and you, you know what I'm saying? And it'll always be me and you, you know what I mean? So, you know, when everything is, all else fails, anything is, you think it's the last, whatever in the world, you know, always you can count on me, call me, you know what I'm saying, come to me, and, you know, and that's just all my thing, you know, it's me and you, and, you know what I'm saying, and you don't have to worry about anything, you don't have to worry about it, just reach out to me, tell me, talk to me, and let's try to fix it, or, I'm gonna help you hands down. So, you know, it's not even the same as if I had my ex-wife and her and I were, you know, kind of like on the same page, because you definitely, like, you know what I'm saying, I'm at the end of the book and she's, you know what I'm saying, on the first chapter. That's how far I separated we are as far as, you know, our ways of thinking, you know what I'm saying, our behaviors, everything is just complete opposite. So, you know, I have to, you know, keep my daughter, you know what I'm saying, on the same page with me so that, you know, she understands that, you know, if anything goes left or she doesn't feel right, you know what I mean, she could definitely come to me and it'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? It will be all right. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing that's going to be too big or it's nothing too small that we can't talk about and we can't fix.
Word.
So, hey, but look here. I know we got a couple cars that's been hanging on for a long time.
Okay.
I know you want to click the man. I got a call with 616 area code, 616-777. You know that number? Carla, you're on the air with Miss Mina Holliday in the soapbox.
Yeah, I'm the soapbox on WDMV Radio. Also, we got to make sure we shout out our sponsors before we bring this caller on. www.dmvblacksingles.com. If you're single, it's a great place for you to go and mingle. I didn't mean for it to rhyme, but hey, go there, check it out. You know, get to know the people of the DMV if you're in the DMV area, which most of our callers are. They do events all around the city, too, and everybody is single. So it's a nice little place to go and hang out and meet other singles like yourself and just be out there, meet people, dialogue, build your social skills. And maybe you might find yourself a husband or something, fall in love, I don't know. But caller, you're on the soapbox. What's your name and where are you calling from? Oh, Nina, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. Say hello to Zahara and DJ Petrone.
Hi, Zahara.
Hi.
Hi, DJ Petrone.
That's Petrone.
I was listening online and trying to type as everybody was talking, but then also I wanted to chime in because this is such a relevant topic, and I think the biggest thing, even more so in our own communities, it's such a hush thing because no one wants that shame brought on the family, you know, so rather than address it, it's just kind of swept under a rug or, you know, just it's not dealt with. It's just it's not acknowledged. And speaking to what someone had said earlier regarding the blame game, that is very common. And oftentimes, I think a lot of times, that's the hurt from the situation that unfortunately is just taking on an ugly turn. But in regards to the question of speaking with your mate about your children, that's a necessary conversation. And to be quite honest, I think it alludes to something that should actually precede it. Most people in relationships don't even establish amongst themselves before kids are even introduced what it is they expect from the relationship and where they want that relationship to go, which is a large problem because, you know, somebody's looking for apples, the other person's looking for oranges. You know, you don't realize that until after you've moved in, after you've set up house, after your lives have become so intertwined, you know, it's difficult to just walk away. So kids are just one more, you know, that's one more piece to that complex puzzle that you just, you try to, you know, you find yourself trying to figure out as you go along. I, as a rule of thumb, as a single mom, have always made it a practice to never let anyone I date meet my kids for at least 2 years. That's just my rule because I need to get to know you, and the truth of the matter is you can be with someone for 10 and 20 years and not know them at all. so I need to do my due diligence as much as possible before I introduce that influence into my children's lives. And I have boys, but I am equally protective about my boys as I would be about a girl, simply because that pendulum swings both ways, you know. And it's really difficult for young men, and I know young men who have unfortunately had to, you know, experience that, and it's not an easy topic to discuss, you know. And some did at one point find themselves questioning their manhood. Some could not understand why that was happening. A lot of them actually, ironically, grew up with resentment toward women as opposed to the men who violated them. So, I mean, it's really different to the individual that it happens to. And our communities need to talk about it. Our communities need to just really get back out there. You know, we're not a village anymore, and I think that's the biggest problem. You know, nobody's raising the child. You know what I mean? And where you have one, our society is just not geared to be nurturing to our kids, especially anymore, because oftentimes we are only one person in the household, you know. And if we are two, we're two people in the household that both have to work. So our hours are cut short, and that amount of direct time that we have to influence our youth is cut short. But our communities aren't looking after our kids the way they used to either, you know, where we knew our neighbors for 20 and 30 years, and we grew up in these neighborhoods, and we got in trouble all the way home. It's not happening like that anymore. Everyone is so closed off, and nobody wants to see anything or hear anything. And for the few that do, you know, those of us that will actually get out there and step up and say something, it's like, oh, mind your business. And that's the mentality that has to change, because we're losing our kids. And, I mean, we're losing our kids to things that really they should not be lost to. And at the end of the day, they're wanting to be accepted, you know, and a lot of times that desire to be accepted is just, it's being projected in an inappropriate way, unfortunately, and they fall victim to these things. And rather than have that support that they need, you know, they get shunned, and that's a real sad situation.
What you're saying is so, like, true about what's happening in the community. Like, have you been listening to the conversation today?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about the skit that we did?
Oh,
I mean,
I love
where
that.
Would you have done anything different? I mean, this is about helping people be better at parenting and in this situation when it comes to incest and things. So whatever information you guys want to give, I know Zahara and both Patron, they're, you know, great at what they do and everything, but, you know, we can always learn from each other. And I think that's the most wonderful thing I think about Zahara, love, and Patron, very humble parents at the same time. They're protective and strong, but they're about, you know, protecting their kids, which is a beautiful thing. And I know you're like that too. So speaking of the skit, is there anything that you would like to add or comment on?
I think the biggest thing a lot of times some parents are faced with is that if they ever find themselves in a situation where their child has been victimized, if it is not something that they have gone through directly themselves, they don't know where to begin. They don't know what to do. And even for those that have been a victim, you know, the last thing in the world you want to hear is that your child has fallen victim to the same thing. Because oftentimes, more often than not, a child who has a parent that's a victim, that parent goes above and beyond to make sure that does not happen to their children. So for it to happen, it's just absolutely devastating. And I think the biggest thing they need to be educated. The parents need to be educated. The kids need to be educated. Children need to know, you know, your body is sacred, period. That's the bottom line. And
right. Anything
that makes you uncomfortable, that makes you cringe, that makes you just even ponder a questionable thought is inappropriate, period. you know, and you should not have to make excuses, and you should not be made to feel like you have to be submissive with what's sacred to you, which is your body. And a lot of times, you know, it just somewhere that gets lost in translation, and we really, our communities need those support systems where these kids can go. And oftentimes, you know, with regards to some parents not knowing, you know why they don't know? Because children are very good at hiding things. Children, the last thing they want to do is what? Disappoint a parent, hurt a parent, feel like they have let them down in some enormous way. And it is a hard thing for them. And in their minds, by them keeping it to themselves, they're protecting their parents from that hurt, and they're absorbing it themselves, because that's the rationale that they take on to deal with that.
Wow.
And for those, you have the others that do try to cry out, and what happens? Well, you know, it's like, well, you must have done something. You must have said something, you know. And I've heard of instances where mothers get upset. Well, when you walk around dressed in that way, well, you're buying her clothes, though. You know what I mean? She's not a little girl. And, yeah, she is a little girl, but you need to look at what your little girl is looking like. So you can't start her off at 5 thinking it's cute to dress her the way you dress, you know, and then when she's 12 and 13, because they're developing a lot earlier anymore now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have a goddaughter that is 14, 15 in South Florida, who, she's as big as I am. I'm 5'2". But I mean, she's filled out as much as I am. So walking down the street, if you didn't see her face, if you really weren't paying attention to the fact that she still likes cutesy clothes, you think she was grown or grown enough. And that's what I mean, you know. So it's like little girls need to be little girls, you know. I've seen some people who think it's cute for their 5-year-olds to walk around in little 2 and 3 inch, you know, 2 inch or inch and a half heels, sandals with heels. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
We can't rush that process, you know. We need to let them be children. And we need to preserve that childhood and that innocence for as long as we possibly can. And it's not to say to make your child completely oblivious and naive to what goes on in the world, you know.
Right.
But it's simply to say let them be children and let them know it's okay to be that way. You don't, you know, and when something like this happens, it does not make you, it's not forcing you to wear a scarlet letter because you did nothing wrong.
Right. It's important to talk about it, and you're speaking about it from, you know, for other children and everything, but you yourself have been through something as well.
I have.
And we're about healing today, and I would like to, if you know, before we continue this conversation with you and I, DJ Patron, are you still there? Patron? He ain't gonna say, oh, yo, can you hear me? Can you hear me, yo? Yo, yo, this is DJ Patron. Can you hear me?
Yo, yo.
Do I have you down or do I have you down? Do we have anybody on the line that wants to join us?
We got an area code 347. Yes,
347, that's New York. What's up? You're on the soapbox. What's your name?
Yes, what's up, man? This is Mercy Maris. Hello to the whole room.
Hey. Thanks for joining us on the soapbox today. Have you been able to catch the show?
Yes, I have. I listened to the skit. I guess I caught the beginning part of it and like the intro into the skit. I thought that
you
was
have
powerful.
You have little girls, right? Or
I have one little girl, yes.
One little girl. You know, big ups to the fathers that are calling in today. I really appreciate that because the more active your role, the better it is for, you know, some of the wounded moms that just don't step up, you know what I'm saying, because they've just been through it and they think it's a way of life. So big up to the fellas who are just like, I'm not taking it. I don't care if that was your way of life, but no one's going to do that to our child. Big ups to you for that. So did you want to add something or comment on the skit? Because Nina and I are going to go into a little bit of dialogue that's going to take us in another direction. So
right.
Before we change course, if you want to speak up, 646-378-0763, that's the number to call in on the soapbox. Your thoughts are welcome, and we're not censored here, so just say what you feel.
Right.
Murray, anything
all
you
right.
want to say?
Yes. It's just really streamlining on the topic. You know, first, the skit was pretty much about, you know, how to, like, spot the perverts or whatever, and whether it was friends, family, foes, or strangers. I think this is excellent that you guys are even having this kind of forum, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm glad I'm learning, too, you know what I'm saying, from, you know, different spectrums of the prism or whatever of the topic. I think a lot of our black women are preyed upon because, you know, media, you know, visually attacked or whatever. It's like you go into this whole video hoe syndrome and, you know, it's cool to wear these provocative clothing. And, you know, of course, if it's you wearing this sleazy clothing, it doesn't give anyone the right to touch you or what have you. And I'm happy that Zahara explained that even if it's the parents doing the touching, that that's bad. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, like sometimes it's like, you know, music dates stuff and, you know, whether it's XYZ song comes out and you got to mimic the clothing or the style or whatever, you got to understand that these little girls are being watched and observed and preyed upon. And the young girls are getting let into these clubs and they slip Mickeys and becoming victims and stuff, even though I know that you guys was dealing with the four-year-old, which kind of speaks to me because my daughter is starting, you know, school on September the 1st. But, like, you know, it goes from 4 all the way to 18, you know? So...
Right. Did you have the conversation with your daughter already?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And I'm going to reiterate it just on the strength of this topic, hearing this message, you know, it needs to be addressed, you know. And I guess it, you know, I guess mom has her time, dad has his time, you know, but we definitely going to have to like, address that like the first day of school. You know what I'm saying? Just something to like touch it, you know,
right.
Even if it's brief, you know.
I ask you fellas, to men that are on the line. Laurie, are you still there? Okay, maybe Laurie's gone already. Okay, Petron and Merce, if you and any of you men that are listening to the show right now, if you want to call in, please feel free to call in. I have this question for you, and we'll take this. We'll give you the last 5 minutes. What would you say? And because it was mainly, you know, women, that it's a very, very big thing that happens to women. It happens to men too, definitely. And we are going to have a show just dedicated to that because this whole question of sexuality thing that comes up when it happens to men, and I think that this should be a whole topic in and of itself. But men, if you're listening, if you could just answer this question for me. If you had 3 minutes, because I'm going to give you 3 minutes apiece, to sit alone in a room with a man who is capable of, has, or, you know, is thinking about it, you know what I'm saying, touching little girls. If you could speak to that brother, sister, whatever, whoever, because not only men molest little girls, but women molest little girls too. But if you had a few moments to speak to them, you can't put your hands on them. You can only talk to them. What would you say? And I'll start, you know, that after Nina and I discuss something really, really quickly. Nina, if you need me to repeat the question, let me know. In the chat room, how are we doing in the chat room? I know you're holding it down, Nina. How's it going in there?
Well, we're still in there. We still have a few people in there.
Okay. We have a few, most of the people that they seem to stay away from the chat room now. We have mostly callers. But it's feel free to come to the chat room. The chat room's kind of, it can be very interesting. A lot of things are better written than said for some people. But Nina, you and I both have been molested. And being that we were, there is something that we, in order to move on, we have to heal. We realize that as we get older because we start to victimize other people because we victimized for so long. So
what would you say would be the first step to healing from sexual abuse?
The first step to healing, in my opinion, is to really know and understand that it's not your fault and that you didn't do anything wrong. Because the biggest issue, well, the biggest obstacle to overcome as a victim, especially when you're a child and you're confused, is you walk around with the guilt of, it's my fault. You know, I don't know what I did. I don't know what I said, but surely I did or I said something to cause this, and I don't know why. I think that's first and foremost, that is the biggest. It's kind of like, you know, you have addicts in the 12-step program. The biggest part of recovery is first acknowledging that you have a problem to begin with, you know. I think it's the same thing for victims of abuse. You have to acknowledge the fact that it wasn't your fault. It's nothing you said. It's nothing you did, you know, because that's an illness. It is. It's a sickness.
Well, also, I want to add to what you're saying. I think that's a very, very good first step. Acknowledging what you had been through and that you were the victim. You were not the person, no matter what you did, no matter how bad you were around the sexual abuse, nothing makes sexual abuse okay. You're a kid, you know, if you're a kid listening to the show right now and you haven't talked about what happened to you to anybody, what you are in essence doing if you continue to be silent is you'll become associated with what happens later, I learn, in your life, in other people's life, the victims you'll have, because you internalize it, you don't talk about it, you don't let it out, it still bothers you, it's still in there, it's still something that you have to cope with every day. And you're not just hurting yourself by not saying anything, you're hurting others too. So I can go deeper into that, how that is, because I didn't say anything for a while. So when I dropped it on people, it was like so much that I had to get, you know what I mean, I had to clean up after that, because a lot of people were, they didn't know, and it hurt them that I wouldn't say anything. So you got to talk about it, not just for you, but maybe this person has, you know, just needs to be exposed so they don't hurt another person. You know, it stops people in their tracks when they know they're being watched for this type of behavior. And being scared, going back to what Petrone and Zahar were talking about, when they say, oh, I'm going to hurt you or whatever, I'm going to, if you say anything else or say anything to anyone, I'm going to hurt you, your parent, whatever. What Zahar said was, don't believe that. Don't believe it. What difference does it make? Your parents will want you to be safe, and they know a little bit more about life, and people are manipulative, and they will say whatever to your kids. So like Mercy said, he's going to go and talk to his daughter right away. That's very important. You should talk to your kids right away, because some of them don't know what to be afraid of and what not to be afraid of. We actually learn our fears from our parents. And it's not that you have to be fearful. You have to be vigilant. You have to be careful. I was always taught to be careful, not fearful. So you can never be too careful. You can never, ever take too many precautions when it comes to perverts and pedophiles and stuff like that. You have to be careful. They are an opportunist. They prey on the weak. They prey on young children who can't really truly defend themselves physically. So they prey on them that way. So kids should know right off the bat, those kind of people, like Zahara says, you got to bring some attention to yourself. Let them know. Let them know that I'm going to let everybody here know what you're doing to me. The first step to healing. And we're going to take it baby steps at a time, and we're going to leave you with that. Acknowledge what you've been through. And I will add to that what I did. And now tell somebody. I don't care who you choose to tell, but it needs to be somebody you trust. that you could be comfortable and tell the details of what happened. Until you recount those details, there will always be just balls and chains that hold you down. You have to release yourself from what happened. It's not you're releasing it on them. You're just releasing it. You're releasing it into you're talking about what happened. It was wrong. It will make you feel 1,000 pounds lighter. You will feel so much better after you talk about it. Then you got to begin to do something else. You got to write about it. You got to continue to do some kind of therapy so you can get it all out. And you need to then, you know, take some extra additional steps. But that's the first one. Just acknowledge.
I want to add to yours, Nina.
What's that?
I want to add to your tell somebody you trust.
Mm-hmm.
If the first person you tell is not convinced, you keep telling until you find somebody who is.
Exactly. Very well. Very, very nice. Very nice. We have 9 minutes left in the show. You're listening to WDMV Radio, The Indie Story, and you're on the soapbox with Nina Holiday. That's a lot. So everybody here is coming together. I mean, we usually open the line for poetry, but this, I think, needed to be spoken about. I think we needed to talk about sexual abuse and the length that we did, and that we should have additional shows to kind of, you know, take us through some extra steps of healing, because it's a long thing, and I think we should talk about it at least quarterly so everybody's aware. All the perverts out there, if you're listening right now, we have 2 brothers on the phone, and I would love to hear what they would have to say, what they would say to you if they had 3 minutes alone with you, if you've touched a little child, or you considered it, or you thought you've had some thoughts about it. Whatever the case is, listen and open your heart right now, because what you do affects the rest of the life of whatever child. I mean, the rest of their life. So I'll start with you, Merce.
Yes. Yeah, I thought about the question. I would basically say, first and foremost, karma is everything. If you're that perverted, you need to please yourself instead of, like, you know, prey on someone else. And piggybacking on what you said, you're going to destroy the innocence of this little girl and mess her up. And now, you know, she's messed up for the next man, the next man, and the next man. And when she gets to the marrying age, she got to go through therapy and all of that because you're the sicko. If you want to get off that much, you go please yourself. Don't be trying to, like, overpower somebody else, because somebody's going to really hurt you.
DJ Patron, that was great. American, yeah, for real. Patron?
Yeah, yeah, I'm right here.
You can't put your hands on him, Patron. You can't put your hands.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, see, that's a tough one right there, because I truly think that people that, you know, do things like that, you know, a little girl or a little boy, they're sick. You know what I'm saying? And it's not a cure. It's just like, you know, you once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. It's an everyday, you know what I'm saying, step of you trying to, you know, just, you know, not take that next drink. So I think it's the same. The whoever this person is, you know what I mean, this dude or female that, you know, is thinking about it or have done it, they just need to get help. There's no other way around it. They need to, you know what I'm saying, you need to check yourself in somewhere and get some help immediately. Because, you know, that, you know, from I'm not an expert. I've never really studied up on this, but from what I've heard, that, you know, people that do things like this, they go to jail for 5, 6, 7 years, come back out, do the same thing. There's nothing that, you know what I'm saying, just being put away in prison or something they can turn on and turn off like a light switch. Once that switch is on and they, you know what I'm saying, they're in that state, it can't be, you know, it can't be stopped. They just have to get some kind of mental help. You know what I mean? So I would just tell them, listen, man, or lady, or, you know, person right here, you need to get some help, you know what I mean? Because, you know, right now, you know, you're going to hurt someone, you know, someone's child, and you're going to get hurt too. Because, I mean, people these days, you know what I mean, like, you know, family is all you got. And, like, you know, like, you know what I'm saying, the young lady said earlier is that, you know, the kids are going left. We're losing them left and right from, you know what I'm saying, from all different type of things, gangs and these all kind of killings and all this kind of craziness that don't need to happen. And then you got these people like this that's praying on the kids, just sitting back praying on them. You know what I'm saying? People, you're not standing for that. You're not standing for that, man. You know what I mean? And I got a buddy of mine that, you know, once he was in a store, and, he has a daughter, but she's like 18, 19, but, you know what I'm saying, somebody was, like, running around, this lady's running around frantic, looking for, you know what I'm saying, her daughter. You know what I mean? Oh, I can't find her, running around. And he went on the hunt on a predator mode. He was like, man, I was looking around the store, and if I seen anybody that looked like they was trying to do something to that little girl, I was going to do something to them. You know what I'm saying? He's like, if I seen anybody look like they were dragging a little girl or trying to make a little girl go with her and she was fighting it, I was going to do something to that dude or that woman. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm telling these people, they need to, you know what I'm saying, get help. Because if you don't get help, you're going to hurt someone's child. And like my man said, karma is a mother. So, you know what I'm saying, it's either going to come here or come there, but it's going to come on you. And we not standing for that, man. You know what I'm saying? We got enough stuff going on out here. For y'all to be praying on these children, you know what I mean, that's not acceptable. We not accepting it. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, we looking for y'all to get help. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's perfect. Everybody got something wrong with them. But this type of thing right here, you know what I'm saying, you got to get help. Seek help. ASAP.
We've got 2 minutes left in the show, and with 2 minutes remaining in the show, just to let you know, if you're listening in live in the chat room, Twitter, or Facebook, this will go dead for you. If you're on the line, though, if you call 646-378-0763, you can get on the line and continue to listen to the last 5 minutes of the show. If you wanted to spit some poetry, we can squeeze you in as well. Just so you know, this show actually is going to be one part of a series until we get to, you know, a point where we have given you as much information as we possibly can on how you can heal. We're going to have some experts and everything because, I have to gather them anyway for the nonprofit that I'm starting. It's called Shed a Light Foundation, SALS, S-A-L-S. So if you want to support that foundation, we're going to probably launch next year sometime. I really want to wait until Soapbox is fully launched before I start, because it is going to be a crusade, if you will, a crusade where we are going to educate children on how, one, we give them a phone number that they can call if anything happens. This is before they have to come and tell on anybody. This is like, if you feel uncomfortable and that adult person is not in your life that you could tell, the principal or teacher or nothing, you don't feel comfortable telling anyone, your parents or anybody, we want to be that phone number, that phone call that you can make, and we can act as your adversary or your advocate to somebody that, you know, you may need to inform, or maybe you can't talk about it, and we'll talk about it for you. We act as your friend. We're not the police. We're not anything. We're not even, you know, doctors or anything. But I guarantee you, everybody who answers the phone has been molested. They have gone through what you've been through. So I've been very careful, because when you are molested, sometimes you also grow up to molest, because that's the behavior that you know. So we want to make sure that we pick people that have sound balance and harmony and aren't molesters and themselves, haven't turned into the predators that were preying on them. So you can feel safe when you call the number. So thank you so much. It's been a great show. I really, really appreciate everybody who called in. Patron, do we have anybody else on the line that wants to talk?
No, that's it.
That's it? Okay. I want to thank everybody for calling in. If you want to listen to the poem that I did last week, I did talk about what I went through a poem. And I'm going to tell you, that helped me tremendously. To see those words on the page was very different than, you know, going through it and talking about it with people. And, you know, it did give me a sense of relief and everything. But when I wrote it, and then recited it in front of people who thought, you know, they've never heard me talk about anything like this, and they didn't know that I'd went through anything quite like what I went through when I talked about the piece. And the language that I used and the emotion that was in it, it was all healing for me. I was a third party in that whole transaction. It felt good. It felt like somebody was giving me a back massage for all my pain, and it felt divine. So if I could suggest anything, after you have admitted to yourself and to the universe, into the world, that this is not your fault. You went through this, but it is not your fault. You didn't do anything bad enough that would okay a pervert touching you in any kind of way. You didn't do anything bad, even if that pervert's your father or your mother or anybody, anyone. It doesn't matter. You don't deserve it, and you deserve to be safe and feel comfortable in your home and around the people that you love. So write about it. Get a pen and paper and talk about it. I got details. I mean, I wrote details. I talked about everything that was done to me. I wrote it down, and then I looked at it again, and I said, now what if I had a couple of minutes to talk about this, could I say, so that I could let people know what it is that I'm pointing at it. This is what's wrong. This is what cannot happen anymore. And this is the attitude I'm going forward with. And I was able to be strong with my pen. I was able to totally just allow myself to find the beginning of healing, when before I was just angry and I didn't understand, so I didn't want to make it okay for any reason. And forgiving meant making it okay, and that's just simply not true. Forgiving the person that did this to you, because if they knew what they were doing, if they really, really knew with their soul and their mind of minds, if they knew what they were doing, how this would affect you for the remainder of your life, they would make a different decision. But that's just it. Just like the charm says, they need help. They are sick. They don't know what they're doing. Doesn't make it right. And they should be locked away, castrated, or whatever the heck they got to do to keep this person from being able to be, such demons to children. So we'll talk about this a little bit more. My suggestion is this. If you can, write about it. And if you want to share it on the show next week, please do. If you don't want to share it, that's fine. It can be private, something that you keep to yourself. I didn't share mine for almost a year. So just write about it first. It doesn't matter if you're a young man or an older man, and this happened many, many years ago, and you decided to put it out of your mind, write about it. I'm telling you, it leaks out into your personality and things that you do when you hold stuff inside. It leaks out. Everybody around you knows something happened. We don't know what, but something happened. So talk about it. Open the dialogue. Reach out to your friends and family. Be there. Be that friend. Have compassion. And even if somebody is telling you something you don't believe in, that someone sexually touched them, you have to think, why else would they say it? If they're lying, they're lying, but look what they're lying about. They still need some kind of help. So help them out. Mercy? Gone. Zahara?
I'm still here.
Okay, thank you so much. Everybody that's still on the line, Nina, are you still on the line?
I'm here.
Okay, thank you so much, DJ Patron. Thank you so much. I really appreciate, you know, all of you participating in today's show. Thank you so much. And if you have any final words, go ahead. Other than that, you know. Everybody's good?
Yeah, this is a great
show. Okay, well... Everybody, thank you for listening. If you're listening in the archives, this is live shows. It's how it is sometimes. You know, we just keep it real. Just please feel free. We're on each and every Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please join us on the Soapbox. This is where we keep it real and we speak our minds, and it's real. It's real, it's real, it's real. Today's conversation was nothing but real. So make sure you join in next time. Get on the Soapbox and speak your mind. Peace.